And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for close to 50 years now. And we just ask you to keep doing what you can to keep us going here, especially in these what can be difficult times for people financially. But you've done great up till now, and we just ask you to continue to do what you can. Also, how about an extra prayer for us? We're going to have to move our stuff out of the offices where we are for a temporary period of time, and there's been almost 50 years of stuff accumulated here over the years, and Maureen's working overtime to get things out with the old and with the new. Get things straightened up in order to prepare for the renovations that are going to take place in our space here. But I'm sure Kathleen will have more to say about that later. But I just ask you to pray for us as we make these transition and what could be some trying times, if you will. We are joined today by my good friend Peter DePalma. And I was just trying to see Peter. I think it was almost 2 years ago in the month of June where I first heard the name Daniel O'Connor, and I was blessed to have Daniel on with us last week, and that was kind of my introduction into Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will. I would have Daniel back on a couple of times before I got hooked up with Maureen and the Morning Glory Divine Will Cenacle, and I've announced it a couple of times, but if anybody's interested in joining us at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. It's basically a conference call using an application called Jitsi, J-I-T-S-I, and we basically read the Book of Heaven. We're on our second time through the 36 volumes since I've joined, and that would have been in January of 2022, so just about 18 months ago. And learned about this gift that Jesus would start to introduce to Louisa Picaretta as a young girl in the end of the 19th century, and those interactions would be put together in volumes, and still waiting for approved English translations, but the translations that we have are very good. The first 19 volumes have imprimaturs and Neil Opstutz from St. Honorable de Francia and what have you. But anyway, the expert in all this is my good friend Peter. So, Peter, it's great to have you back again on this last Wednesday of the month. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks be to God. Thank you, Ken. And I wish all that were true. But, you know, there's so much about this. You know, I was racking my brain like I usually do. Okay, so before we even start the program, let's put things in perspective. Okay, we've been introduced to the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. Now, we can stop there and either believe that or not believe that. Now, some of us need more proof, and that's okay. That's prudent. Remember, Paul says, believe but test. After we go through the investigation, after the Vatican has gone through, yes, the first 19 volumes do carry the Church's imprimatur, Neil Opstutz, but all 36 volumes have been approved. Otherwise, the typical edition of Louisa's writings could not have been generated by the Vatican. That has been done. So it's all good. All can be read. Also, in addition to that, The Son of My Will, a biography of Louisa Picaretta, which was published by the Vatican Publishing Company in 2015. Now, common sense tells us the Vatican is not going to publish anything that they have any questions or any queries about. This is from the Vatican. Very, very careful. And actually, while I have that book, in the conclusion of this book, remember, published by the Vatican, this is what it states. In the conclusion, quote, here is what clearly appears, that this living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that he wants to give to people. It is an overflow of his mercy. End quote. But then the next page it says, but in order to understand this, it is necessary to take a leap into a mystery that is inexplicable, unable to be explained, but can be embraced and followed if one so chooses. End quote. God is so gratuitous, but he never, ever, ever inviolates our free will. Think about it, Ken. 36 volumes, 19 of the imprimatur and the Hilopsis. Yes, all 36 have approval. Half and half. Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? I mean, that's really the question. Right now, in this juncture, look at the times we're living in. Our Blessed Lady of Fatima said, when all hope will appear to be lost, That will be the trump of my Immaculate Heart. We really believe, Father Nuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, all of us really do believe that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is when everyone is embracing and living in the gift of living the divine will. But it's so hard, Ken. How do you take this and how do you communicate this to people who have been doing good, holy works all their life, perhaps? How do you say it's not enough? How do you say that God wants you to go one step further? How do you tell them that everything that they've done in their lives have been a vehicle, a means, a support to bring them right here on the doorstep of the divine will? It's difficult. The human will is very strong at times.
No, it is. And you know, Peter, people attach themselves to wonderful things that have helped them to grow closer to Christ, to grow closer to the Blessed Mother, that have helped them to grow in their own spiritual lives, maybe put them on contemplative prayer levels that they never thought they could achieve. And now all of a sudden, this comes along, and it's like, well, wait a minute, I already have these things. And trying to, and I see this even in various circles where people have begun ministries or give retreats or whatever it is that they do in life to help bring others closer to Christ. And that fear of letting go, not for something less, but for something better. And I certainly understand it, you know, and why some people may be a little bit reluctant. But like you said with St. Paul, you know, test it, investigate it. And if it's not for you, nobody's going to hold it against you. But when I started to get involved with Maureen and them and going through these things, it just makes perfect sense. And the way that Jesus would explain it to Louisa sometimes over and over again, sometimes I wonder, you know, did it really take 40 years and 36 volumes to get the message across? And the message, I think, repeats itself numerous times through there, but in different ways, and helping us to see it in a different light. And it's almost like Scripture. We were talking in the previous hour. Every time you read a passage in Scripture, you know, you get a different light or a different message for you personally. And I think the same thing happens when we're reading the Book of Heaven. It's been interesting the last month or so. Unfortunately, Deacon John Thompson's been under the weather and so hasn't been able to participate as much. And we've kind of opened it up to sharing in the morning. And the different lights that people get, and it's, you know, you have 20 people that are reading and listening to the exact same passage, but getting different lights or personal messages from it. And when we share it, you know, people say, well, I didn't think of that, or I see what you mean. And this whole thing just, it's beautiful. And, you know, what hooked me early on, and really with Daniel O'Connor, was this, you know, the idea that there's going to be this era of peace, that the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, the only prayer that Jesus Christ gave to his apostles, you know, gave us that, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that it was a prophecy and that it is going to occur. I always thought we were going to experience it when we got to heaven. But if you and I live long enough, we may get to see it, you know, right here on this planet at some point.
It's true. And, yeah. You know, Ken, we spoke about this on one program. You talk about what's coming, and it's really here. The experts will tell you it is here. The second Pentecost has begun. And we talked about St. Cyril Jerusalem. We've talked about St. Bernard of Clairvaux. These are saints. These are doctors and fathers of the church who have spoke about the three comings of our Lord. I mean, if you just tell somebody on the street, you know, there are three comings of the Lord, I mean, it sounds heretical. They're going to run. If they're a Catholic, good Catholic, without any explanation, they're going to run. But this third coming is an intermediate coming. It comes between the first coming, which already happened 2,000 years ago, and before the final coming, which has not happened. It's that time when God is preparing us. He wants all his children prepared. He wants everyone dressed in white for the wedding feast. So he's ironing, he's washing, he's dry cleaning, he's getting everyone prepared, and he's waiting for us. The only thing that will not occur in us, and we will not participate, if we say no. He says that this gift is available to everyone, right, in every situation, in all circumstances. It has to be fair. It's not available to those who do not want it. That makes sense. Again, never invalidating our free will. So, again, it does sound, though, too good to be true, Ken. We talked about this. I hear myself speak sometimes, and I say, wait, can this really be true? Is God really giving us the gift of gifts in our lifetime with all the great saints that have gone in the past? You know, why us? And it's beautiful, too, because I actually came across that, Ken, not to divert. Maybe I'll find it later. But, you know, God goes to the simple. He chooses the simple. He doesn't choose, like, for example, the Pharisees weren't called. He takes Father Gobi, who was a very simple priest, Sister Faustina, who really was incapable of doing many of the chores, religious chores at the convent, Luisa Picaretta, who has the equivalent of a first grade education. He comes to the simple, and he gives us an analogy of why that happens, Ken, because he actually tells us that, I think it's in the Meditations also, tells us because he started that process with the shepherds.
Amen.
The Pharisees weren't at the stable. It was the shepherds, the simple, because the simple are open. The simple are not full of everything else but him. And he continued with that process, calling the simple. It's nice to be simple.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, to be called a simpleton, you know, people get, you know, take offense, but, you know, when we overcomplicate our lives, and Lord knows I've seen that share of that in my own life, and, you know, in ministry with addicts especially, you know, we can overcomplicate just about anything that that comes up in front of us instead of just looking at it with, you know, simple eyes and, you know, the eyes of faith. So I know exactly where you're coming from, and it wasn't one of the meditations that you sent along to me about, you know, coming to the shepherds first. You know, we could have come to the, you know, the Pharisees or the you know, the great thinkers of the time, but he doesn't. And I, you know, as you were saying that, you know, you wonder over time how many of the saints actually thought of themselves as saints. And obviously they wouldn't be very humble if they did. And so almost to a person, you know, would look at themselves as sinners and unworthy and what have you. And that's actually what would drive them time and time again back to Christ, knowing that, you know, that he was their Savior, that he was the only one that was would be able to bring about good, not with them, but through them. And so their reliance on Christ and knowing that was what eventually would make them saints. And, you know, the great examples for us, and we live the same way, look at ourselves at the same way, always in need of Christ's love and Christ's mercy, that, you know, we'll be on the right page when the time comes. And, you know, because that was the other thing, that it was even the gospel, again, we'll get sidetracked here maybe, but the gospel a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus, you know, tells the apostles that they're going to do greater things than he did. And we had a group talking about it, and it's like, how are we going to do things that are greater than what Jesus did? And I thought about it for a few minutes, and, you know, Jesus never built a church. He didn't baptize 10,000 in the days immediately after the Pentecost. He didn't bring the message all over the world. And so some people, while they may not, in individual events, may not be greater things, but some great things have happened since he ascended. And even greater things continue to happen. And I just think that in this world, like you said, as crazy and as upside down as things seem to be, you know, the fact that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are going to be awarded out of Dodger Stadium in a couple of weeks, it just seems like the whole world is going insane. And yet this retreat that you and I were able to be a part of and helping to set up, you know, sells out in 10 days. 300 people with a waiting list of 100 more, because people are on fire for this gift of the divine will. And I think that there's more of us out there than we really know about. And God knows through your ministry how many people you're in touch with each week with the broadcast that you do. And we'll be sure to mention to folks how they can be a part of that before we're done today. But it's definitely growing. Even since the last 18 months when I've got involved, the number of people that have either heard my show or heard you and somehow or other our paths cross, there's more and more people that are talking about this gift of the divine will.
And, you know, Ken, you mentioned earlier you remember the date. You remember the date when it all started.
Mm.
I remember the date also. It was October 13th, 2014, when beloved Deacon John Thompson stood up and said, has anyone ever heard of Louisa Picaretta and the gift of living in divine will? And we said, no, Deacon, no, we never heard. No, let's just go. I mean, we didn't really say that, but we poo-pooed it a bit. But then when everyone left the house, because we were meeting every 13th of the month for Our Lady of Fatima, my wife and I sat down, we looked at it, and we took 10 minutes, and we looked at each other and said, this is it.
Yep.
This is everything that God has been wanting us to find. You know, God, he leaves breadcrumbs, but we have to look down to find out where the breadcrumbs are, and then once we look down to find them, then we look up to him. So it's just incredible. But that's a sign also. If you remember this date, it's something very significant, if not the most significant date in your life, because everything, Ken, everything with regards to you and your family has changed.
Amen.
And changed for the greater. Everything. And that's hope. You know, in this despair atmosphere that we have, and we talked about that also, this is the greatest hope. Hope, love, and what is it? It's God's charity. And God wants us to be charitable also to each and every one of us. And again, we have to spread this gift, but again, how do you do it? How do you go into somebody who's got a huge ministry and say, well, by the way, this is why you've done what you've done for the last 40 years. God has led you to this point. Here it is. Here's the ladder. You can climb on the roof now. It's difficult. The only way really to do it, Ken, I find, is through acts and rounds, because it's really not us doing it. See, as we perform acts and rounds in the divine will, we're glorifying God on the level of God due to God, as Adam and Eve did before they fell. And when we do that, God is so elated that he sends down, let's say, a mystical dew. Can't see it, can't feel it usually. And this dew is affecting everyone in the world, to help them be disposed. What does it mean to be disposed? To have that little bit of hunger. And that's what our Blessed Lady speaks about also in this in the meditation number one. She looks... maybe I can start with that. She says, first of all, is meditation number one, the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, in the ardor of her love, Our Lady's love, feeling herself the mother of Jesus, Mary sets out in search for hearts to be sanctified. End quote. She's looking for the slight disposition so that she may introduce to us her son. And introducing her son through the gifts given to her by her son. This is a can't fail formula. It's Our Lady speaking to us. Our Lady calling us. It says in the volumes too, I don't know what volume it was, but Our Lady is marking her children. We want to be marked. We want to be marked by Our Lady. And how do we do that? Well, we have to please, we have to move God. And God is very moved when we honor his mother. He really is. I mean, this last Monday was the universal feast day of our Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. And yet, unfortunately, my church was closed. There's no Mass.
Mm.
And I tried a local, another, they're closed. It's a holiday. But it's a feast day. It's a universal feast day. So again, Our Lady has been sort of put to the side a bit. I think, well, there's a couple different reasons, but I don't want to go into detail with that. But she's been put on the back burner. God wants her on the front burner. He gave her this task, especially with the divine will. She is to go around the world disposing souls, marking souls to receive this gift so great. This is eternal happiness. This is eternal happiness beginning now on earth. It's a resurrection that happens now before we die. How can this be? With God, everything's possible.
Amen. You made a reference to what you called meditation number one, and we're a third of the way through the show yet, and we've got sidetracked a little bit, but one of the things we wanted to talk about with our listeners today is this meditation, and it comes from a book entitled The Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And this is a conversation, conversations between Louisa Picaretta and the Blessed Mother. Kind of goes back and forth, but and Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but really the aim of the book is to teach people, in this case, to teach Louisa how to enter into the kingdom of Mary, the kingdom of the divine will. And it goes back and forth for 31 days, so a lot of folks that are involved with Louisa's writings will use this book in the month of May. I had started out that way, but kind of got sidetracked. But after the 31 days in May, there's some meditations in the back, and this was the one for the Feast of Mary's Visitation to Elizabeth, which happens to be the feast day that we celebrate today. So we got about 5 minutes before we go to the break, Peter. So how about if we get started, we see how far we go, and then we can resume when we come back.
Sure, you want to kick it off with
sure.
the paragraph? Okay, or do you want to?
Well, how about I start and you can comment? And I just want to start with, now this is the soul to her celestial mother. So this would be Louisa that is talking to the Blessed Mother. And it says, Celestial Mama, your poor child has extreme need of you. Since you are my mother and the mother of Jesus, I feel the right to be near you, to place myself at your side, and to follow your steps in order to model mine. Holy Mama, give me your hand and take me with you, that I may learn to behave well in the different actions of my life. And then there's the fairly lengthy response from the Blessed Mother, and we'll go through paragraph by paragraph and maybe comment where necessary. So
sure.
the Blessed I'm sorry, go ahead, Peter.
No,
that's all right. You got a thought before we go?
I was just saying, you know, as we're going to be reading now again, Louise's stating something. She's stating it for herself, but she's really stating it on behalf of all souls. So again, she's like our proctor. She's asking on behalf of us. Now, before we listen to Our Lady's answer and response, let's remember too, in our Catholic Catechism, I think it's Article 507, a little excerpt, it says, quote, at once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church, end quote. So she's qualified to give these responses, especially in the gift of the divine will, given, entrusted by her blessed son. So she states, she comes on and begins with, blessed child. And it could be blessed children to us. How sweet is your company to me in seeing that you want to follow me, to imitate me. See, again, that's that disposition. We have to want that in order to receive it. God says he has to be moved. How do we move God? By showing him we love him, that we want this gift. That's the best way to show him that we love him. I feel refreshment for the flames of love which devour me. Again, the flame of love. That's also a very nice devotion. The flame of love is that flame burning in the divine will. Now, is the flame of love the divine will? No. It doesn't have the promises. But it is a conduit. It is a pathway to the divine will. Stated right here, I feel refreshment for the flames of love which devour me. Oh, yes, having you near me, I will be able to teach you more easily how to live of the divine will. While you follow me, listen to me. End quote. She's not demanding here. She's responding eloquently, of course, honestly, of course, and she's giving us poignant response as to what we need to do, how she's refreshed by our desire, how Jesus elated by our desire to want to know this gift. Why do we want to know this gift so badly? Because Jesus wants us to know this gift so badly. So again, what would Jesus do? Remember, we talked about the bracelets back in the 90s. What would Jesus do? Jesus would want us to understand this gift, but he wants us to get some information, get some knowledge. How else can we make that determination? Remember, the Catechism states, the Baltimore Catechism, to know God, to love God, and to serve God. That's the purpose of our life. Well, the more we know God, of course, the more we're going to love him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to naturally want to serve him. Perhaps that's a good place to pause.
Very good. We're about a minute early, but that's all right, Peter. We'll go ahead and take the break now, and when we come back, we'll continue with the reading from the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And this is the additional lesson number one. The Feast of Mary's Visitation to Elizabeth. Again, don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreat, Days of Reflection, Preaching, and Teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Our guest today is Peter DePalma, who's with us on the last Wednesday of each month. And this month, before we went to the break, we started talking about this passage from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. To learn more about the gift of the divine will, to learn more about Peter's ministry, you can go to his website at queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. Get on his email list, and he'll send you out reminders of the shows that he has each week himself with some great folks like Mother Gabriel and the sisters from Italy. They talk about the gift of the divine will, various hours he has with Father Celso, Father Iannuzzi, reading of the various writings on Friday evenings with Peter and Maureen Lomedy, good friend of mine, and his. And so there's all kinds of activities going on day in and day out around this gift. Before we went to the break, you know what I'm going to do, Peter, too? I want to give out the phone numbers. In case anybody's got a question, you want to give us a shout, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. You can also email me personally at ken@inhissign.com. That's my first name, ken@inhissign.com. If you have questions about what we're talking about or if you're interested in joining our Cenacle, it's Monday through Friday morning from 6 to 7:30 a.m. Nobody takes attendance, so don't feel like you have to be there every day. But if you want to join us, I'd be more than happy to give you the necessary information. So before we went to the break, we had read the initial paragraph from Louisa to the Blessed Mother, asking her to lead her into the divine will. And the Blessed Mother had started to respond with the first paragraph. And you ready to go on the second paragraph, Peter?
I'd like, but you know what? I'm going to really throw a monkey wrench in here. Before I do that, I want to read one line from day 14 of this same book, this Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is Our Lady speaking, quote, "Therefore have courage, my child. Tell me that you desire to live in the divine will, and your mother will provide for you in all things," end quote. Again, I'm trying to persuade everyone, to encourage everyone, please draw closer to Our Lady. She's waiting for you. She's waiting for you. Have courage. It's not offensive to Jesus to go to Mary. In fact, on the contrary, you're complimenting Jesus. You're loving Jesus. He wants you to go to his mother. His mother has the office to dispose souls. So we really must listen to her if we want to.
No, absolutely. And I've just to comment real quick that, you know, it was really my first consecration as a Knight of the Immaculata, and getting closer to the Blessed Mother through that consecration that has led me to where, you know, we are now. My good friend Patrick, who's our engineer today, he actually made his St. Louis de Montfort consecration today. And, you know, it's just, I know for a fact that that's going to open doors and windows and everything else for him that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And, you know, we really don't know where it's going to lead once we, you know, turn our wills and our lives over to God. And especially if we do it through the Blessed Mother. And so that's what we're talking about today, and what the Blessed Mother is going to lead us through in this response to Louisa. So the second paragraph, how about if I read the second paragraph and then you can comment?
Yeah, because I'll never get there.
yeah, we'll never get to the third one. So the second paragraph, "As I became Mother of Jesus and your mother, my seas of love doubled, and unable to contain them all, I felt the need to pour them out and to be the first bearer of Jesus to creatures, even at the cost of great sacrifices. But what am I saying? Sacrifices? When one really loves, sacrifices and pains are refreshments. They are reliefs and outpourings of the love one possesses. Oh, my child, if you do not feel the good of sacrifice, if you do not feel how it brings the most intimate joys, it is a sign that the divine love does not fill all your soul, and therefore that the divine will does not reign as queen in you. It alone gives such strength to the soul as to render her invincible and capable of bearing any pain. I'm sorry. And just before I give it to you, Peter, I just had this happen last night, a conversation with my wife and I. She is working with the Brothers of Charity now as a cook, and they taking care of the five brothers and eight residents there. And one of the brothers sees how she is, especially with the eight residents that have various mental challenges. And she's a compassionate soul, so much so now that she's been there for about a month, and the residents, when they come in from work, will, you know, give her a big hug or a smile. When we see them at Mass on Sunday, they'll, you know, from the next section over, they'll all be waving at us. And the brother asked my wife yesterday, actually, how do you teach compassion? Because he can see it in her. And this is, you know, as I'm reading this today, this is, I think, is exactly what the Blessed Mother is talking about with Louisa, that so many times we complain about having to make, you know, sacrifices for others. And yet, you know, the Blessed Mother and then Louisa subsequently, and Jesus Christ, of course, talks about these as refreshments, that when we give of ourselves and sacrifice things that we may feel that are important to us in order to help somebody else, to have compassion for somebody else, that's when that refreshment comes, when the greatest joy in our lives come. And I think that this is what the Blessed Mother is trying to get across to Louisa here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Ken. And, you know, it's when we have sacrifices, you know, it all depends on the perspective of it. Again, when we give, so we know, I know, for example, and I know you do, Ken, also, when we give, we receive so much more. And I'm not saying we do it for that reason, but God is moved. And when God is moved, He does miraculous things in each and every one of us. You know, so to have sacrifice and to really understand it as being sacrifice and to understand it as being good, something you want to do, something pleasing, something that has a benefit, a goal, that's something that, again, has to come from the interior. And again, that's why Jesus is this whole gift of the divine will. I mean, let's put it this way. For 2,000 years, the church has been effectively working on the outside to permeate inside and effectuate a change. Jesus says, okay, it's been moderately successful. I'm going to change the inside, because remember, the body expresses the soul. So I'm going to go inside this interior reconstruction. I'm going to transmutate everything inside so that now the body is anew. So again, everything, it's the opposite, really, of everything. And again, you talked about this also early in the program, how everything is upside down. Exactly, Our Lady of Fatima said that. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a diabolical disorientation where good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. Everything upside down. Again, God has to turn everything upside down for good reason.
Amen. It goes on, the next paragraph. Place your hand upon your heart and observe how many voids of love there may be in it. Reflect. That secret self-esteem. You're becoming disturbed at every slightest adversity. Those little attachments you feel to things and to people. That tiredness in good. That bother caused in you by that which is not to your liking. Or equivalent to as many voids of love within your heart. Voids which, like little fevers, deprive you of the strength and of the desire to be filled with divine will. Oh, how you too will feel the refreshing and conquering virtue in your sacrifices if you fill these voids with love.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
We call them obstacles to grace.
Yeah.
Jesus calls them that also. That's actually something that if anyone would like to look at, it's on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's under the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And it'll explain what Jesus explains to Luisa and to us about what to look out for. What are these obstacles that prevent us from receiving the efficacy, the full efficacy of what God wants to give us? It's really, some are very common sense and some are, wow, I didn't think of that. Another thing also, talking about the voids here, that's very important. Ken, maybe that's for another program, but just really quickly, Jesus explains to Luisa and to us that there are two voids. One's good, one's bad. The good void is the void that he put and placed in Adam and Eve's soul. He does it in us also. It's this space in which to house God. The more we know God, the more we love God, all that is being stored, so to speak. It's sort of like a hard drive, but it's huge and it's insurmountable. It can never be full. So that void is there to house God, so that God may live in each and every one of us. That's good. The voids that's being spoken of here, that's a bad void. This is basically a missed opportunity to give glory to God on the level of God due to God. All those missed opportunities where we didn't say thank you to God, maybe, for example, the 9 lepers that didn't come back to say thank you, maybe the fact that we got married and did we thank God for our spouse for this union? Did we thank God for the house that we have? All these things that we have to, again, it's also incorporating rounds, but these voids, these missed opportunities, that doesn't mean we just, like a robot, you know, thank you, thank you. No, but to remember God in everything, because he explained it to Luis and to us also, everything in creation has been created and made for us. As a gentle and subtle reminder of God, his power, his majesty, his love for each and every one of us. So to not recognize that as a void, and most importantly, Jesus says that no one may enter heaven without these voids, these self-inflicted voids, without them being filled. So that's why Jesus is giving us this opportunity on earth right now to do it through the sacrifices, through the pains. He redoubles our love, redoubling, catching up to those voids, filling them quickly. Because he says, and again, this was another astonishing statement, but he says, anyone living fully in the divine will has already completed and filled all those voids. So therefore, there is no need for purgatory. So those voids will be filled either on earth in the perfect union and conformity to the divine will, or whatever is left over and not filled will be filled in purgatory before our entrance to heaven. So it's important.
Yeah. No, and I, a lot of times when working with people that struggle with addiction, and you know, I talk about the hole in the soul, which directly correlates with this void, and it, God put it there intentionally with the idea that we're going to fill it with Him, and now we know with His divine will, and instead we filled it with everything but that. And so we've got to, first we have to clear out what's in there and actually recreate the original void in order to start filling it up with Jesus Christ and His divine will. But we can't fill it. If we've got to fill with a bunch of other stuff, we've got to clean that stuff out and prepare it to be filled with Jesus Christ and His divine will.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, Ken, once it's actually emptied, then we come to the realization that the wineskin needs to be changed. We need a new wineskin to hold the divine will. And that's what this gift is. It's a new wineskin.
There you go. All right, it goes on to say, my child, this is Mary again speaking to Louisa, my child, and speaking to us. My child, give me your hand now and follow me as I continue to give you my lessons. So I departed from Nazareth, accompanied by St. Joseph, facing a long journey and crossing mountains to go visit Elizabeth in Judea, who, in her advanced age, had miraculously become a mother. I went to her not to make a simple visit, but because I burned with the desire to bring her Jesus, the fullness of grace, of love, and of light that I felt within me pushed me to bring, to multiply, to increase 100-fold the life of my son in creatures. And I had read this in prepping for the show, Peter, and you know, she's explaining it to Louisa here and does it, you know, almost immediately after she conceives Jesus in her womb. You know, she already has this welling up in her. She already has the gift of the divine will that she knows that she needs to spread Jesus to everybody. And, you know, it didn't take, you know, 30 days, 60 days, a year, 5 years. It was, in biblical terms, it was almost like the next day that she heads out to see Elizabeth. And, you know, you can read the scripture and interpret it in many different ways, but reading this just shed a whole new light on it, that Mary from the very beginning knew her role was to bring Jesus to everyone and anyone, right?
It certainly is. And yeah, and she does that in total humility. See, we can proselytize this gift of divine will, but we must do it with humility. And again, Jesus, what Jesus tells the apostles, he told the apostles, go out by twos, don't take anything for your journey, listen for as long, you know, speak for as long as they're going to listen to you, and if they don't want to listen to you, just shake the sand from your sandals and move on. And that's something we have to learn, because any of us that are going to try to share this gift, it can be, if you allow it, very demoralizing, because 9 out of 10 people are not going to give you even the opportunity to explain it. And not that we can do a good job explaining it, because even Father Annuzzi says that. He says the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but is very easy to understand once we accept it. End quote. So I think we need the grace from God, those mystical gifts, in order to translate, interpret what God is speaking. Because He's speaking in our vernacular, but it's way beyond the words. It's the language of heaven. What is the meaning of that? And that can only be done through mystical gifts. And again, how do you get a mystical gift? Well, mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given unequally to whomever God pleases, when He pleases, to whatever extent. We know for a fact, if we're listening to this radio program right now, we've been given at least one, if not multiple, mystical gifts. We recognize this gift of the divine will as being something extraordinary.
Amen. The reading goes on and says, yes, my child, the love of mother which I had for all men, and for you in particular, was so great that I felt the extreme need to give my dear Jesus to everyone, that all might possess Him and love Him. The right of mother, given to me by the fiat, enriched me with such power as to multiply Jesus as many times as there are creatures who want to receive Him. This was the greatest miracle I could perform, to have Jesus ready to give to whomever desired Him. How happy I felt. And this, you know, you can almost sense in the Blessed Mother, the joy that it brings her when she's able to bring her son to people. And I think about people that I know have consecrated themselves over the years, and it sheds a whole new light on how happy the Blessed Mother is when that happens, and that her purpose in life, and almost her sole purpose in life, was to do just that, to bring Jesus to each and every one of us who opens our hearts and souls to him.
Yes, it's again, that's her vocation. That's her mission. That's her love for God. And that's what God has entrusted to her to do. Again, she tells us, listen to my lessons, not because she wants people to listen to her, but that's because that's what her son said. In fact, I think it's in Meditation number 6 of the same Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is Jesus speaking. If we don't need any more ammunition, why don't we just use this quote? If you want graces and miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything she asks of me. End quote. That's powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yeah. All right, and then it goes on. Part of this, I think this next, it's only one sentence. How I wish that you too, my child, in approaching and visiting people, would always be the bearer of Jesus, capable of making him known and yearning to make him loved. And when I read this, I thought about, St. Francis of Assisi, and, preach the gospel often and sometimes use words that, we don't always have to be preachy when it comes to this. But if we have Jesus alive and well within us and have that relationship with him, we can't help but bring him to other people. And then I think the difference here is that we want to make him loved, that through expressing our relationship with Jesus, our knowledge of the gift of the divine will, that we want to bring that to other people and have him loved by them as well.
I was thinking the same quote, Ken. Exactly. Again, the differentiator here is we actually don't have to go out preaching this. Jesus explained to Louisa, he told her, quote, "You are to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything," end quote. And the best way I can explain that is the saints in the past, the great, glorious saints of the past, they did something. They did something significant. And that's who they were. That's who they became. Jesus says, I want to do it all, again, upside down again. I want to do it all differently. I want you to be first and then go out and do. Because God is now giving us this opportunity that transcends time and space, so that when we make an act and we make a round, fuse in the divine will, it effectuates all souls, past, present, and future, positively. There's no way we can preach to that magnitude. And Father Nuzic is a great example. Let's say we want to pray for souls, and we go to a cemetery. We'd have to go from tombstone to tombstone, and that's only one cemetery. It's impossible to do all souls. But to do it in the divine will, it's as if you're in an airplane flying over the entire country and praying for all souls concomitantly. Again, what did the Son of My Will say? It takes a leap of understanding, right? In order to understand this gift, it's necessary to take a leap into a mystery that is inexplicable, difficult to be explained, but that can be embraced if one so chooses. So God's looking for our faith. He's looking for our trust, and that's why he left us with the motto of divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
It's so it's all here, man. All here. It's so magnified.
Yeah, yeah. Why'd he take 2,000 years to bring it? But they understand. Everything had to happen in its due time, and everything's prepared us for this. Even the saints that may not have been aware of this gift of the divine will explicitly, as it was described from Jesus to Louisa, that Jesus was working in them and through them to bring us to this point where we'd be able to at least understand it a little bit, even if it is inexplicable.
Yeah.
All right. It goes on to say, after many days of travel, again, this is the Blessed Mother talking to Louisa, after many days of travel, finally I arrived in Judea, and I hastened to the house of Elizabeth. She came toward me in feast. At the greeting I gave her, marvelous phenomena occurred. my little Jesus exalted in my womb, and fixing little John in the womb of his mother with the rays of his divinity, he sanctified him, gave him the use of reason, and made him known to him that he was the Son of God. And John leaped so vigorously with love and with joy that Elizabeth was shaken. Touched by the light of the divinity of my son, she too recognized that I had become the Mother of God. And in the emphasis of her love, trembling with gratitude, she exclaimed, "Whence comes to me so much honor that the Mother of my Lord would come to me?" I did not deny the highest mystery, rather, I humbly confirmed it, praising God with the song of the Magnificat, sublime canticle through which the Church continuously honors me. I announced that the Lord had done great things in me, his servant, and that because of this, all peoples would call me blessed. When I read that, Peter, it was funny. We were sharing about the gospel this morning, and somebody, when they put themselves in the scene, it perfectly described the scene, this interaction between Jesus and John the Baptist, in their mother's wombs. But that something actually took place here, and then when you read this, Blessed Mother lays it out pretty clearly that. It was from this initial meeting between the two that they forged this this bond, huh?
It's spiritual. It's all internal. You can't see it. So therefore, as Jesus says, since it's internal, nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop. Nobody can deflect God's grace. Nobody. No thing. Nothing. So by doing it, it's almost like God has put a conduit around this electrical cord that is impermeable. It can be placed anywhere, and it doesn't matter. The current will always get there. God has made it very easy for us. All he's looking for us is to say, God, I want this. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you. Let it be done. Fiat. That's all it takes.
Amen. All right, we have three short paragraphs. Maybe I'll just finish them up, and then we can give you a couple minutes to conclude here. My child, I felt devoured with the desire to pour out the flames of love that consumed me and to reveal my secret to Elizabeth, who also longed for the Messiah to come upon earth. A secret is a need of the heart which is revealed irresistibly to persons who are capable of understanding each other. Who can ever tell you how much good my visit brought to Elizabeth, to John, and to their whole household? Everyone was sanctified, filled with gladness, felt unusual joys, and comprehended things unheard of. John, in particular, received all the graces which were necessary for him to prepare himself to be the precursor of my son. Dearest child, the divine will does great and unheard of things wherever it reigns. If I worked many prodigies, it was because it had its royal place in me. If you let the divine will reign in your soul, you too will become the bearer of Jesus to the creatures. You too will feel the irresistible need to give him to all. Incredible, huh, Peter?
It really is. I love the definition, the paragraph above the last one you mentioned about the secret. In our modern day, a secret usually has a nefarious meaning to it or connotation. Oh, it's a secret. I didn't know someone's withholding something. But this is actually, if you think about it, it's a compliment. A secret is a need of the heart which is revealed irresistibly to persons who are capable of understanding each other. So, in essence, Our Lady and Our Lord is providing us, is giving us these truths because they believe we are capable of understanding. So that's a humble compliment. And last but not least, all the grace is needed and necessary for John. Well, the same for our office, our vocation. Everything that we need will be given. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. We will have what we need at the moment we need it, perhaps not before. It's all here. It's all here.
Amen. Peter, these hours fly by when we get together, brother. And certainly appreciate the time again. Our guest today is Peter DePalma. You can learn more about his ministry and the gift of the divine will at his website, queenofthedivinewill.org. I'd also encourage you, if you want to learn more and get involved in our daily cenacle Monday through Friday, you can email me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. Final word, Peter, before I let you go?
Yeah, don't feel bad about giving up what you're doing right now to grab this gift of gifts. Even Saint Hannibal, also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert of Our Lady of La Salette, he said, "Know that I no longer occupy myself with almost anything of my other things of my institute." He developed and founded two institutes. He says, "I don't do anything with them anymore since I dedicated myself completely to the great work of this divine will." End quote. So that's a saint who basically dropped the two institutes. Didn't drop them, but he moved on.
Amen.
Matthew, follow me. He left everything. Follow Jesus. It's not that difficult. We really have to be disposed. We have to. I guess the more we read, the more we listen about the divine will, the more convinced we're going to be that this is our blessed Lord speaking.
Amen. Peter, thank you so much. Appreciate the last Wednesday of each month. Unfortunately for us, but fortunately for me, I'm going to be in Rome the last Wednesday in June. So we'll get back together again at the end of July. For our listeners, thank you for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours you could be with us. I look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.